ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Howdy do, it's Friday. Oh, thanks the Lord. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts. Oh, they may want to rethink this. Napa, get the good stuff. We love us some Napa Auto Parts.
That's where I get all my auto parts.
John Fugelsang, it's Fridays with Fugelsang, everybody. He's in with us all 3 hours today.
Thank God.
Thank God. You've gotten
Thank you, Steppers.
You've gotten to witness the broadcast news before the show
yes,
when I got here about 30 Steph's, seconds ago.
Yeah, and it's the Steph streamers got to hear it, too.
Oh, yeah, boy. You make me ashamed to be a meth addict.
You know, Chris, the audience appears to be clearly divided. Much like we are in Afghanistan and healthcare, there are part of our audience that finds my disastrous decision to move to New York on a box wine-induced whim to be wildly entertaining.
Uh-huh.
And there are those that don't really give a and would like me to shut up.
Yes, I've noticed that in the cards and letters we've received.
I just, you know, Chris, I'm settling in, as they say.
They're so jealous of you. They don't get that carbon monoxide and stale urine smell when they leave their doors, but you do. They're envious.
You know, it's just, it's the settling. You know how there's, what is it, on a bag of potato chips, John? There's a, you know,
some settling may have occurred.
This is just the week, Chris, right? There's some settling occurring on the Stephanie Miller bi-coastal broadcast.
This is why
it feels like the bag's half full.
Isn't this week two?
This is the end.
Oh, gosh, time flies when you've made disastrous decisions that have impacted.
It should have settled by now, Stephanie.
Oh, you're crushing me. You're crushing me.
Is this really week two?
It is really week two.
How many more weeks till vacation?
One more. One more week.
One more?
Uh-huh.
I got one more.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, then. Well, good luck to me. Where's my Stephanie's Madcap Adventures music?
Because
it's going on both coasts. First of all, John Fugelsang would like you to quit your bitching about my pool cover, because he's like, there's, in this economy, there's not many people that are like, oh.
Yes, the pool cover. Welcome to First World Problems. We first world folk have grievances and gripes, and we want to air them in a respectful, friendly environment.
But, John, if I don't do the pool cover water
What do you mean you're out of soy? First World Problems.
If I don't do the pool cover pump correctly, water collects on the pool cover, it rips, and it comes out of my salary.
Like you're down in the lost hatch pushing the button every 100 minutes, or the world will blow up, I understand.
Well, no, it had to be done in the rain this morning, in the pitch dark
Oh, what a Bataan death march your life is in the empty mansion. You're like Desmond in the hatch on Lost. I've got to push the button for Penny! Penny!
All right, meanwhile, back on the East Coast...
Where America needs Stephanie Miller.
So, the landlady's coming this morning because the electrician's coming. So, Mama just finished up paying the carpet cleaners $1 billion yesterday to clean the...
Yes.
Chris, you know the incident from the other day because...
Yeah.
Her dog's Jackson Pollock
Mama's
all over
dog,
the place.
They've only had a dog door. I have a little yard and a dog door in L.A., and so they've forbidden me to put in a dog door, and my dogs are not really trained to hold it. In addition, if you've been paying attention to the adventures there, food was late because my crookie car... It's a long story. Anyway...
Yes.
They're not really trained at all, Stephanie.
They are trained. They've never gone in the house in L.A. Now, but they had diarrhea. It's a whole thing. Listen, I just finished. I did the Febreze spray, and I burned incense in it.
You could have taken that rug down to...
I did the carpet cleaners yesterday. Ugh. So everybody pray for Mama when the landlady shows up this morning. What is that?
Lady of the house wondering when it's going to stop. You could have taken that rug down to MoMA and sold it as art. I mean, you're in New York now. There are new rules.
Your place is now going to smell like poop and incense. Great.
There is no dog door that would accommodate your dogs.
Is that dog pee with lavender over it? All right. Fine. Anyway, Chris, you know, part of the reason I moved to New York on a box wine-induced whim...
Yes?
...was to have a life so I wouldn't have to get up at...
At stupid o'clock.
And go to bed at...
Insane o'clock.
Like you.
Well, yes.
Anyway, so I was going to go to the Big Betty show last night with Gloria Steinem and Leslie Gore, and I was finally going to fulfill my lifelong dream. You know Amy from the band Betty, as they told me I could be in the band last night.
Oh, yes.
And I fell asleep on the couch.
I've done that many times.
I asked John Fugelsang and his wife on a date, and they said no.
Well, I mean,
I asked the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money. He couldn't go.
I didn't say no. She has plague.
His wife has some sort of bubonic plague or something.
It's an acute bubonic plague.
Yeah,
it's light bubonic.
I hear it's going around Manhattan.
It's bubonic flu. Not quite a plague yet.
And John, like a devoted husband would, said, yeah, this is really impacting my social life.
Yeah, I'd love to go with you, but I have to sit around my house and, you know, watch the cats throw up, so I can't make it. I wanted to. Oh, God, I wanted to.
Oh, boy. Anyway, all right, that's good with the music.
Yeah,
thank you. Okay. So, yes, I, as you know, I got a little exhausted from my media whoring, John. I'm a little...
I know.
I was on Larry King the night before last, Joy Behar last night. I'm on Joy Behar and the Ed Show tonight. So I'm...
And the video of your appearance on the Joy Behar Show is up in the video section of StephanieMiller.com. Thanks to Shano.
It was great fun. Joy Behar is great, and I was on with Ariana, darling.
Yes.
Stephanie, I do not say I give the benefit of the doubt in Afghanistan. Why has it been? We got a peace prize from the president who was into wars.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why was she allowed to be on from Los Angeles in a box, and you never were?
I know. Why did I have to move here?
Because she's going to have the first nude pictures of Levi Johnston. That's why. Stop being composed. Darling, it's a hard week for the progressive community. You've got a pro-war president accepting a peace prize. You've got the public option dead, and now the guy from Smashing Pumpkins is dating Jessica Simpson. It's a hard week for progressives.
That's pretty much what you get on the Huffington Post anymore.
Yeah.
Yes, Joy Behar thanked her before the show on how much press she's been giving Joy's show, which is great, on the Huffington Post.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Ariana, I certainly hope you're going to notice, you're going to mention on the Huffington Post that Stephanie Miller was on Joy Behar and talked about the Joy Behar on the Stephanie Miller Show.
But you see,
and also StephanieMiller.com.
But you see, Stephanie, Joy Behar writes a column for the Huffington Post. You've been invited to, but never have.
Yeah, like I can barely manage...
Joy Behar seems to be able to do The View, the Joy Behar show, and write.
I know it.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
Elizabeth, I'm a loser. Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Such a loser.
Hasselbeck finds time to write her blog for Fox Head Nodders, Inc.
Yeah.
I mean, why, you know. I don't understand why you hurt her like this.
I'm still unpacking and I'm settling, like the aforementioned potato chips and but you know what, Chris, I did stake some moral ground yesterday.
What?
We talked about, because you know how you move somewhere and you're trying to find where your stuff is and you don't really know,
right,
and you're running out of time.
It's very disconcerting.
The corner deli is like, let's make a deal. You can get anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to challenge them. Do you have a, you know, master cylinder with a corkscrew opener? They're like, yes! Yes, I have that. However, Chris, I forgot to steal printer paper yesterday.
From Dial Global?
Yes, well, I used to steal it from Clear Channel in Los Angeles, and
yes,
now
you did.
I steal my office supplies directly from my syndicator here at Dial Global.
Uh-huh.
But no one knows.
Yeah, I bet you didn't forget to steal Whiteout, folks, if you know what I'm saying.
Anyway, I forgot
right.
to steal my office supplies yesterday, as I normally do, and so I ran out,
uh-huh.
and I went to the corner store, and literally for like a quarter-inch stack of printer paper,
right.
$15, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I'm wondering what that costs.
Bodegas are like that in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They're very expensive.
So I stood my ground. As an American in an economy like this, I stood my ground, Chris, and you know what I did instead?
What?
I just didn't print out half my show prep. So I understand the president gave a speech on Afghanistan. Oh, was that a while ago? Oh, I read my old show prep.
Yeah,
oh, was
great.
I supposed to print something to do with today? No.
Why do I even do work for you?
No, I didn't.
Why do I even send you stories?
I didn't do that. Listen.
It hurts me to see this.
I don't have to do any work today. You know why?
Why?
Marlo Thomas is on the
That's
show.
That's right.
That girl is on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I so much. You know, my hair is an homage to her, practically.
I know. Indeed.
I spent my ute wanting to, I think, you know what? I think she could have saved us, John, from the Iraq War. Had she been sitting next to Rumsfeld going, Donald! Donald!
I think her very good husband tried to save us from the Iraq War.
Yes.
And
I
was
know.
Punished for his good ratings for that.
Bill Donahue. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. But she's doing the Lord's work for... in
St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital.
St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
Literally doing the Lord's work. There's a saint in the title.
Indeed. Indeed she is. I mean, Marlo Thomas is someone who really walks the walk, and we have to try to persuade her to get back into some stage acting.
I think that's
what we've got to work on.
I know.
You're in New York now. She can do Broadway again.
I know. And yes, Chris, in case you're wondering, I will pester her with my impression.
Oh.
Don't ask her Phil's number, because it's not nice. Don't. I know you like him and respect his work, but don't do that again.
Also, Christian Weller from RoboCop and the Center for American Progress, he's a fancy economist guy, whom we love.
From the University of Massachusetts at Boston.
Yes.
Yes.
And then Representative
Chris Van Holland. Socialist or capitalist, you're coming with me.
Chris Van Holland.
Yes. Holland.
So it's a jam-packed show. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, surly associate producer Rebecca Baker, or me, Stephanie Miller. And as Chris mentioned, the mama on the, what's the latest? I can't even remember.
The Joy Behar show from last night.
Oh, I have to tell Jim, I stole something without attrition from him yesterday, as I often do with John Fugelsang.
Mm-hmm.
Because, John, you do a lot of TV. Here's the problem is you realize that you're being asked a lot of the same things.
Yes, indeed.
And to come up with new material every day, 3 days in a row, I was like,
Well, that's why I steal from Robin Williams. So every comic gets credited that way.
Exactly.
So it's the circle of life.
Exactly.
You're paying it forward.
I did use the we need to airlift all the vaginas out of Afghanistan on the Joy Behar show. And that is Jim Ward's, and I didn't say so. And I apologize.
Oh, no.
But, you know, it's just Larry King asked me the same questions, and then I got to figure out something new. For not, I'm going to have John Fugelsang write whatever I do on a show tonight. I'm out of bullets. Are you kidding? I'm that's it. All right, so now some farting. Listener Ken in Cleveland has sent us a holiday farting jingle bell.
Oh, no.
I think I'll bring this in.
Oh.
Took a lot of eggnog to make this sound.
It sounds like my apartment right now as we speak. If I left a microphone on. Okay. I think we get
that's
it.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I didn't want to be on the Supreme Court ever anyway, so that was good. That's a craftsman.
Yeah.
There's love in that work.
All right. John Fugelsang, want to get your take on the health care compromise, because speaking of my buddy Ed, he obviously, you know, among other progressives, not happy about this compromise. I am. We're going to get John Fugelsang's take and tell you where we're at with that. As we continue, 20 minutes after the hour, it is the highly unprepared Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday on the health care compromise. Nancy Pelosi yesterday.
We in the House believe that the public option was the best way to hold the insurance companies honest, to keep them honest, and also to increase competition. If you have a better way, put it on the table. As soon as we see something in writing from the Senate, we'll be able to make a judgment.
You know, John, let's get your take on this. But, you know, she said we haven't seen the paper from the Senate. There's certainly a great deal of appeal about putting people 55 and older on Medicare. That's something people in the House have advocated for years. On Tuesday, passionate public option backer Representative Anthony Weiner, who we've talked to, said he was happy with what he's heard of the Senate deal.
They're all happy. They're so happy the public option, upon which the fate of the republic depends, or so we've been told for these many months, is now dead. But it's a good thing.
I don't think it's dead. I think this is a public option. That's the thing. I think it's better than the watered-down thing that we were starting to get.
I don't know. My fear is that it's like my fear is that it's like they've rescued all the survivors off the Titanic and put them on a much nicer sinking vessel. because I don't really understand. I know the public option as it was so watered down. Somali pirates were storing their boats in it, you know. But why is it good if the public option's dead? I like the idea of lowering Medicare to 55.
Yeah.
Because then we can lower it down to 50 and 45.
That's what I'm saying.
You know.
You can go back. It's easier to me in a way to go back and strengthen it, because we've been saying forever we should have done Medicare for all from the beginning. So that's why I have to say I'm a little surprised, and I'll talk to Ed Schultz tonight, hopefully, when I'm on the show. But, you know, I get what he's saying. you know, he wants the robust public option that he feels like, you know, we won this election and this is what we should be getting. But
one senator bought and paid for by Aetna in Connecticut gets to derail the entire process.
Yeah.
More or less. I don't understand. It's like the Stepford Dems. They've been telling me for so long there has to be a public option. Now there's no public option, but they're all happy. The bill's great. The bill's got a lot of great changes, but change.
What I'm saying is, when Howard Dean has the Mona Lisa smile, John, there's, I'm just saying, it seems like what this is, whatever this compromise is a public option, and it's stronger than the one that became the trigger, the hammer, opt-in, opt-out, whatever the hell it was.
Trigger, please. I mean, I know that now what they've got is, they've got like a, it's a public option for the insurance companies, and that's what I'm pleased about, because those guys have had it bad for a long time, and I'm glad that our tax dollars will be funneled directly to them now. I'd like to think that we're seeing single payer begin by this thing, and that if that's the great compromise, lowering it to 55, that's terrific, because then most of us only have to wait a few decades to get health care.
Well, I mean, and they're also, again, part of what's hard debating this sometimes is we don't know the specifics yet of what this final thing is going to be. And, you know, I think people like Ed are saying, keep fighting, you know, that this is not over yet. And look look how many twists and turns this has taken already. And he's right about that. I mean, the breaking news, the latest polling, when the news trickled out about the Senate Democrats reaching a deal to replace the opt-out public option, there was a poll done. This is CNN. The compromise is reportedly gaining support. A poll released by, New York Times CBS poll. Serves as a reminder that the full-blown public option has been abandoned by the Senate. It's still quite popular. 59, that's almost 60, Chris.
I've heard.
Nearly 60% would favor a public option.
That's right.
So,
and in the same poll, 38% like the current bill. But 59% want the public option.
Last night, Rachel Maddow said the stable popularity of the public option suggests that Americans may want the expansion of existing public programs. The numbers imply what people really like and are attached to is just the idea of having an option for health coverage that is public. All I'm saying, John, is my feeling is what this is, at least what we're hearing is taking shape, is some version of that. They're just not calling it that. It seems like, you know, like somebody was saying, that's become the holy grail for progressive, just the word, public option, public option, public option, and
let's fake them out somehow and drop that to the same coverage.
Right. We've been saying, get my nunchuck sound effect ready, Chris. It seems like a kind of neat piece of political jujitsu.
I'd like to think so. They're going to lower the Medicare age to 55. They're going to raise the Medicaid eligibility income level, hopefully to like 70 grand or something, and then you'll be able to choose your own music in the doctor's waiting room. And that's the plan.
That's it. That's pretty much
that's the choice you get. I mean, a lot of people are very upset, and they're afraid that the Democrats have thrown the liberals under the privately funded ambulance today. But I think you're right. I think that there's something going on we don't know.
Right, but when you see Howard Dean
and Anthony Weiner,
when you see Bernie Sanders say,
they're all pretty happy with it. So
yeah, I mean, Anthony Weiner, that's what I'm saying, is there are people that I look to, at least, you know, as a barometer. So, you know, and I do think we have to keep fighting and not just go, oh, it's over now, we got to, you know.
Exactly. Keep calling your congressman. Keep telling them you want a public option, you want single payer. Keep faxing them.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Keep the pressure on. Amandla!
Waiting my whole life to say this. Marlo Thomas is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She wasn't my girlfriend then, but I must admit,
Stephanie Miller
was my first crush.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Sometimes, you know, Chris, first crushes don't work out so much. The breaking news, Jenny Sanford has shockingly filed for divorce from Governor Mark Sanford.
Yes, he let a good man get away.
You know, that line would have gotten me, John, the whole, I'm trying to fall back in love with her.
Yeah.
She's not my soulmate, but whatever. The ball and chain. He had me at hello.
Yeah, hearing my adulterous affair as a soulmate usually is the tipper for me. Every time my wife does that, I need a few weeks off at least.
33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEF-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I have been waiting, as you know, John, all my life to say this, but Marlo Thomas is on the phone for me. Marlo Thomas, good morning. Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie.
I don't know if you've seen me on TV, Marlo, but my hair is an homage to you.
That's great.
I like just about every woman of my generation wanted to be you desperately.
Oh, dear. Well, how did you turn out? I hope better.
Well, I didn't get to marry Phil Donahue. I didn't get a TV show. None of my dreams came true.
I had to be the only one to do that.
Well, Marlo, I've been following you, not just obviously your acting career, but I've been following your work forever with St. Jude's, and God bless you for what you do.
Thank you. I'll tell you something. It's not me that does it. It's those kids. I go to St. Jude and meet the parents and the children, and people say to me all the time, "You've been at this now 17 years since my dad died, and how do you keep your passion?" I said, "All I got to do is make one visit there." Yeah. Meet a mom from, in upstate New York whose daughter was, or she was told that her daughter had a brain tumor and she only had 4 months left to live, and the mom should take the child home and photograph her so she'd have memories of her. Oh. And this mother went on the web. Parents are getting smart now. They went on the web and typed in the disease, which was medulloblastoma, a brain tumor, and up came St. Jude, and the greatest doctor in the world, literally the world, Dr. Gajar, said, "Bring her here." And we saved her life. 2 years later, she's fine.
Oh my God.
You hear a story like that, and you think, I have to continue to do this. And I'm doing an Elaine May play at the moment. I'm doing a television arc on one of the television shows. I have a lot of what I'm writing a book called Growing Up Laughing, which will be out in September. I have a tremendous amount of work to do, but I have just weaved St. Jude into my life as part of the tapestry of my life. I don't even know. People say to me, how much time you give it? I said, I don't know. It's every day something.
Yeah.
Part of my life. It's like a business that I run.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And I have to tell you, it's strange timing that you're on. A friend of mine who I'm very close to here, who was on our affiliate sales team, has a very dear friend. That I can't imagine what this is like to hear, but her baby has cancer, and she has to have surgery, and it's just, I don't think there's anything more heartbreaking than cancer in kids.
Well, tell that mother to go on the web and see if we're working on that disease. She should go to St. Jude.
Okay, absolutely. I will. Well, the sixth annual Thanks and Giving campaign to support St. Jude's is kicking off. Tell us about that.
Well, it's called the Thanks and Giving campaign because we're saying to people at this time of year, when you're out there spending your money and having fun, seeing Santa and buying presents, there are a whole group of people, families, moms and dads and kids, who really aren't thinking so much about Santa. They're thinking about how do they save their child's life. Mm-hmm. And so we created this campaign called the Thanks and Giving campaign to look at your kids and give thanks for the healthy kids in your life and give to those who are not. And you can do that in so many ways. You can go to stjude.org, stjude.org, and just press the Donate Now button and give us a dollar, whatever you have. Mm-hmm. Or go to all these wonderful stores. We have partners. You'll see a magnifying glass logo on a green background at Target, K Jewelers, CVS, Kmart, Dick's Sporting Goods, Williams-Sonoma, Pottery Barn, so many great stores, and Taylor. Yep. And go in there, and they're going to ask you to donate a dollar. So it's a wonderful campaign. All of America can be part of it because children come from all over America. And the doctors all over America are conferring with our doctors. We get 200 consults a week. We have a website called Cure for Kids so that all the physicians and the scientists and the healthcare workers can be in communication with our hospital and get information to treat the children even in their area if the child doesn't come to St. Jude. So we're in the business of saving children's lives, of giving
everything
we have to the scientific community. Mm-hmm. And my father made a promise that no child would ever be turned away if a parent couldn't pay. And that is key because it's...
Marlo, I was going to say, this is such important timing with this whole healthcare debate, the difference.
Right,
St. Jude
has
developed protocols that have helped push survival rates for childhood cancer from less than 20% to 80% overall.
Right,
that is...
I,
the real value of good health care.
I wish the government would take a lesson from St. Jude.
Right.
Yeah. Now, and you've got all these new great spots. Jennifer Aniston, Robin Williams, Antonio Banderas are in this year's TV spots, right?
Yeah, and Reggie Bush and Louis Fonzie, well, they've been with us for many years now. God bless them all. They come back every year. Jennifer, whenever she finishes the spot, my brother produces it. She always says, "You got me for life. Just tell me where you want me to go." And she poses in the Thanksgiving T-shirt, and they've been just wonderful. All of them have been just great. Yeah, and they're on television, and they're in the movie theaters, and Regal Theaters and AMC and Cinemark, and that's on American Airlines flights. We really try to make everybody aware so that when they go into the stores, they know that what St. Jude does. And you'll notice that with all those stars, the star of the spot, of the TV spot, is the child. We never use a star without a child. The child is the story of St. Jude. I could talk forever, but if I had a mom and a child with me
I was going to say, I think you need a radio show. Wow! Before you go, I know you're on a tight schedule. You have to tell me what it's like around the Marlo Thomas, Phil Donahue household. What's dinner like? Is it all talk about progressive causes?
Is it like pass the gravy?
How can you have gravy?
It's a noisy place. It's hard to get a word in edgewise, but I try.
That is my goal, to get invited to dinner now. You can go to St. Jude.
You're on.
Oh, wow.
Listen, I could dine out on that for days. StJude.org or call 1-800-4-ST-JUDE. Marlo Thomas, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Stephanie. Bless you. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. There she goes. Marlo Thomas. Come on. We have it on tape. She invited me to dinner with her.
Lovely.
I can't get a word in edgewise, I would just listen. I would listen at dinner.
I will be your date to that dinner.
Thank you.
I didn't even need to send you any show prep for that. Why did you print that out? She just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked.
Everything that I had highlighted with my little highlighter pen, she said it before I got to it.
Good.
Listen, she's done this before.
I'm glad Marlo prepped today.
Yes. Yeah, she is. I mean, that is some wonderful work they do at St. Jude's, though.
Yeah, listen, Chris, you know the friend who has a friend dealing with this, and it's just heartbreaking. Like, what do you say when somebody says, "My baby has cancer"? I mean, it's shocking, you know, and it's just...
Well, that's the exact sort of thing that they do at St. Jude's, so maybe we should tell her to, go to stjude.org and...
Yeah, no, I will, because, I think that's the thing, is it's interesting, in the middle of this healthcare debate, I mean, look at those survival rates. I mean, that's the real crux of what we're trying to talk about, that everybody in America should have access to that kind of healthcare. You know, nobody in America should have a baby that dies of cancer because they can't get the right treatment,
Exactly. And this is a case where it's, ordinary people like you and me. Well, not so much you. You're extraordinary. but ordinary people who are making this happen, who are making a difference because the government's not able to be there for them yet.
Yeah.
And she's doing an Elaine May play.
By the way. Chris, remember I told my Marlo Thomas story one time? I don't know if you noticed. I didn't really have much of a chance there.
No, you didn't.
I wanted to keep the focus on the St. Jude. see, this is what I aspire to. I've been talking about all my little problems with my disastrous move. Here's what happens when you're Marlo Thomas. I'll just never forget one time in L.A. And she's earned this. God bless her. Her and Phil, they've worked hard. They're very successful. So... she must have been on my flight from wherever, to L.A.
Right.
I didn't see her on the flight because, as you know, I was in steerage with Leonardo DiCaprio dancing a jig. But she was probably, Anyway, but I remember, LAX, you wait longer for your luggage than the actual flight
is,
no matter where it's
from. Yeah, it's wonderful.
From.
It's great. Yeah. But there's lots of places to sit, and, there actually aren't. But it's just lovely
anyway.
It's
like Dawn of the Carousel Dead. You just sit there and just... but I'll never forget, we're all just waiting, cobwebs coming off, pages on the calendar, seasons change.
Yeah.
And Marlo Thomas...
clock hands spinning real fast.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And Marlo Thomas and I don't know what must be her people, somebody.
Her crew.
She just, on an entirely different carousel, her bags came out and they got them and left. And I've always admired, I'm like, someday... I want to be that successful. That it's just that they had a special carousel just for her bags, and they came out, and she was gone, and we were all like, what? Where are our bags?
Do they have a movie star luggage carousel at LAX?
Yes.
Apparently.
John,
apparently
do you use it?
Their bags don't touch ours, I guess.
I do use it. Yeah, well, I do some valet parking, so I pick up I pick up Danny Bonaducci's bags for him. So, yes.
43 minutes after the hour. All right, back with more on the Senate compromise on the public option and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested. John Conyers approved. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. The chaos, Chris, behind the scenes continues. John Fugelstein was getting me napkins because my leftover Japanese food stuff leaked over everything. And
yes, that's what I do.
Oh. Okay.
I get you napkins.
I'm so embarrassed.
He's a brilliant comedian, and he's running to the printer and the bathroom for me. And thank you, John Fugelstein.
I'm going out to pick up her oxy, everything she needs.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that was the other drama you missed this morning, Chris. My dog's diarrhea medicine is being FedExed from L.A., but they sent it bill recipient. And you see, I'm a skosh bit busy right now.
Yes. And so they... Oh, no.
Yes. So I'm having somebody try to figure out what happens when a FedEx package comes here that's very, very important. That is like when Russia's oxy arrives.
Yes,
it's like that package that FedEx is very important. Make sure that somebody has...
Your dogs are better house trained than Rush.
Give Consuelo an extra 20 if it says bill recipient. Okay, so at any rate, that's what I'm waiting for. Mama is waiting.
No,
that's
don't. Would you look? Know. Well, Bert, what do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
It's here. Thank you, Sean.
Susie's petals. The dog diarrhea medicine came. We saved Christmas.
Sean, the engineer, just brought in my dog's diarrhea medicine, everybody. Oh, the flesh.
God bless us, everyone.
Stephanie,
Manhattan. Is there any Valium in here for me?
She's physically huffing the diarrhea medication now.
Manhattan does have veterinarians, you know.
I've had time to do that, for God's sakes. I've been media whoring every day.
You've been on the air for 2 weeks, and you...
Here it is.
And she's opening it, almost like she's really excited.
This is good radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is, my dogs. Okay.
But why are you grinding it up into powder?
Shh, John Fugelsang.
Sorry.
You have to talk about everything behind the scenes.
Oh. Because she has diarrhea, John. That's why.
What? Hillary in Binghamton, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Hill.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Hello, Hillary.
I have solved your doggy door problem.
Okie dokie.
So they won't let you put in the regular door because of security. You can buy screen doors that have the doggy doors, and that way you can shut it when you're not there, so you tell your landlords, but you have the doggy door.
Yes, but it's kind of cold here now.
Oh, quick,
if I were to just have a screen door open.
It's okay.
Yeah, she lives in Binghamton, Steph.
It's okay to have a screen door.
Just get a plug-in heater by the door, and, you'll
and leave that on when you leave the house.
Uh-huh. I see. That's okay. Here's the thing I realized. Have you ever heard the expression, Hillary, ask for forgiveness, not permission? That's what I realized, is I just have asked.
No,
that's
you shouldn't
the problem.
Have.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Hillary.
She's right.
Here's what I really need to hear is from a lawyer. Can they? Because I'm not altering anything. I don't understand.
Well, if you remove the old door and put in your own door,
right,
you
but when
are...
I move out, I will be putting the
but
old door
you
back,
have,
exactly.
You have altered what the place you're living in.
Temporarily. The last people that lived there redid their kitchen without telling them.
You have altered...
How about that?
Well...
All right. Michael and Ella, yes,
There is no dog door that will accommodate your brontosaurus-sized canines.
I have one in L.A. Oh, by the way, I heard there's another thing I need to look out for here, Chris. There are rabid raccoons in Central Park. I thought I had escaped critter trouble by moving to the big city, but apparently not. Okay, Michael in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Hey,
good morning.
You know what? I think I can help your Huffington Post problem.
Uh-huh.
Just like Sarah Palin, can I ghostwrite your column? I mean, you can give me the subject matter. I'll write it all up. I'll throw in a few fart jokes.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll send it to you, and you can have final editing power.
All right. I will take that under advisement, Michael. But normally I just steal stuff directly from John Fugelsang.
That's how Elvis wrote his songs. Like Rodin and signed someone else's work. I like it so much, I'll say I wrote it.
Katie is in St. Paul, mad as hell about this Senate compromise. Not going to take it anymore. Hello, Katie.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking this morning that we really need some kind of an easy public campaign that people can just do today to keep the pressure up and remind legislators that most of us, the majority of us, want this public option, and we want a strong public option. And I thought, how about if we just wear, like, a blue ribbon? It's something we all have around right now for the holidays, and we can just put it on our lapel or coat as we go out. And just if we can build some kind of a campaign around, you know, something that's easy for people to do. We're busy. We don't have a lot of time. Most people aren't going to call their legislators, but they might be willing to put a blue ribbon on. And the blue ribbon would symbolize the best solution, as, you know, a blue ribbon does, and also courage that the legislators are going to need to do the right thing here and stand in the face of the lobbyists.
Katie, that is very sweet and well-meaning. That'll never work. But thank you anyway. I think at this point, you know, that's the thing. It's like, how many polls, Katie, can there be where people want the public option?
Yeah, and I just saw on Fox News, Brit Hume is saying to wear a blue ribbon to help support insurance company profits. So it's already been taken.
Hey, thank you, Katie. Anyway, but I mean, I think it's a CNN poll, too, that says, you know, of course, the public option more popular than the Senate compromise. So it's just, yes. I've been saying this for a long time.
It's the Al Gore of health care.
Yeah,
people want it, they don't get it.
I don't get the disconnect, because these guys have to be elected. And if they follow anything, they should follow polls. So it's just, you know. But like you're saying, like the douchetastic senator, as you say.
They follow the money, and they can buy lots of commercials if they have lots of advertising money from lots of insurance companies.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
That's right. The douche-torious J-O-E.
When all else fails, resort to name-calling. That's
right.
Our creed here. Branch in Milwaukee, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Medicare. Hey, Branch.
Yeah, good morning. I'm pretty disappointed. I mean, I think it's more of a political win, and, you know, a hardcore Democrat like myself, I just see it staves off some losses in the midterms. But, I mean, here's the bottom line. As a guy like me in my 40s, I still don't have any competition. I'm still going to be paying higher prices every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, my rate's going up for 2010 through my employer, and, you know, I don't have competition. I mean, you're talking 55 and up. I mean, they're expanding Medicare, which I've been told for so long is going broke. So, I mean, it's a double whammy. It's like you're feeding a device that's broken.
Well, I think right, but I think
the point is
we want to fix Medicare, not, you know, I understand what you're saying. That's what the right wing keeps saying. Oh, Medicare doesn't work. Medicare is broke. Medicare works very well. I mean, you know, thank you for calling. Anyway, if you think about, you know, what things were like before we had Medicare.
Well,
I mean,
and the right wing can shush up about socialism once and for all, because if you're a capitalist, you're not afraid of competition. That's
right.
All this is. They are anti-capitalist. This current bill, God bless them, is socialism for insurance companies. 40 million new customers who don't even want you, but they're going to be with you now.
Glenn Beck says we should just abolish Medicare.
What?
At least he said it.
He says he called it what it is, a government-run health care plan, which...
Yeah, at least he's being, conservatively consistent.
He attacked the new compromise and proposed a simple solution, abolish Medicare. But here are the actual fun facts about Medicare. Medicare, actually hugely successful. Before it came into being, more than one in four seniors lacked health care, and a third lived in poverty. Now every American over 65 has access to quality care. A Commonwealth Fund study found that people with Medicare report fewer problems obtaining medical care, less financial hardship due to medical bills, higher overall satisfaction with their coverage compared to people with employer-provided care. 56% of Medicare beneficiaries rate their coverage a 9 or 10 on a scale of 10, while only 40% with private insurance do. So...
They're not capitalists. The Republicans aren't capitalists.
Right. But in part of, John, what we've been saying, what would help Medicare is giving Medicare to everybody. Get all the younger, healthier people into the, you know, into the system.
This is something the president could do, a one-page executive order he could sign his name on saying Medicare for whoever applies for it and wants it. That's
right.
It.
Right.
You get it.
In the meantime... Well, you know, Chris, they had been, the Republicans had been bitching that the bill is too long.
Yeah.
Do you know what they said yesterday?
What?
It's not long enough.
What? Huh?
Yeah, that's just Larry Craig.
Hey!
That's But we were saying that's a one-pager. You're right. Medicare for all. Done. Yeah. Signed, the president.
Apply for it. Pay into it. It's yours.
Yeah, exactly. All right. 57 minutes after the hour. Christian Weller from RoboCop and a Fancy Economist. All right. I lied about the RoboCop thing.
But that was Peter Weller.
He is our favorite economist. Yes. He is next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, all is right with the world. My dog's diarrhea medicine has arrived. Those of you that just tuned in, so it's all good. 1-800, the carpet cleaners just left. The landlady's coming this morning. Everything's perfect. 1-800-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Mama's appearance on Joy Behar from last night is up in the YouTube's section. I will be on Joy Behar again tonight and on The Ed Show on MSNBC.
Wow, you're going to be on.
Slut. Look at me.
You're all
slut.
Over the place.
You're
going to
be
talk
on
about
Joy Behar.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her slut. I'm sorry, Jim. Say what?
No, I said you're going to be on Joy and Ed tonight.
Why? Yes,
oh dear.
Well, what the Joy thing is pre-taped, you see.
Oh, okay.
I taped two segments, one for last
can
night.
Can you give us a sneak preview?
It's all kind of a haze.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You can email us all there, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, who is fueled today by, what is it, Jim? Alcohol,
L-tryptophan from Turkey, and sleep medication. So.
Oh, good. You're going to be a live wire
champion.
This morning.
I have an entire set of luggage under my eyes because you see tags.
All right. John Fugelsang joins us all 3 hours live in studio in the New York Bureau here for Fridays with Fugelsang.
Indeed I do.
You missed that girl, Jim. Ha ha.
I
you
was
Marlo
listening.
Thomas.
There's actually someone who talks more than you. It's amazing. Yeah,
I know.
I didn't think that was possible.
I'm invited to dinner with her and Phil Donahue. We'll see who comes out alive verbally.
I'm not. I told her I hated how Ted Knight and Lou Grant used to treat her on that show, and she got really upset.
Oh, dear.
Come on
boy.
Now.
Wow.
All right. We have Representative Chris Van Hollen coming up in just a little bit. But first, you know, you'd think that he would be most proud of his work in RoboCop, but apparently the Center for American Progress would like us to point out that Christian Weller is also a professor of public policy at the University of Massachusetts, some fancy
in
thing
Boston,
like that.
Yes.
Good morning, our favorite economist.
We'll talk about my work in the movies the next time.
Yes.
Okay. You know, these days it's hard to find yourself a good economist in this economy, so we're just thrilled to have you. So, Christian, you know, obviously, you know, also we're going into the retail season. We're going into the holiday, you know, selling season. How are things looking for retail sales?
Well, they're looking a little bit better than last year, largely because I think generally we're no longer in the panicky mode. People are no longer in the panicky mode that they were in last year. They're not holding on to their savings for dear life, not knowing what's coming. I think to some degree it matters what the trajectory of the economy is. There's more positive news out there. The unemployment claims, the continued unemployment claims, for instance, just went down a little bit, meaning the things are easing up slightly in the labor market, and that's been going on for some time. So what that means is that people feel a little bit better about the economy, have a little bit more positive outlook than they had a year ago, and they may be spending more. But, you know, retail sales is, to be honest, it's tea leaf reading at this point, because a lot of stuff doesn't get spent directly at the malls. Now people buy more credit, more stuff online. People buy more gift cards, and that stuff means that people don't spend the money directly in December. It doesn't get counted till January, February.
Listen, all punditry, take it from me, is tea leaf reading. You just pull something out of your ass. I do it all the time.
And I do have a PhD.
Stephanie, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. Did you hear him? He said he had a PhD in that.
Well, you know, I'm trying to understand, you know, for instance, when you talk about jobs, so the Obama administration obviously plans to, the TARP thing turned out better than we thought, right? He's going to channel some of the money from TARP to small businesses who are obviously really hurting, and Republicans are against that. Why is that not a good idea, in their opinion? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, it's the just say no Republicans. There's not a single good proposal that you could come up with that they would ever like. I listened to Senator Judd Gregg yesterday, and it really becomes more and more convoluted. He's becoming a leading voice against pretty much anything sensible at this point. Lydia's correct.
I was going to say, Christian, this is...
stay away from the politics, but this one is just making me angry, to say
Well, I know, because that's what I mean. It's just at some point, particularly with the economy, we're sort of all in this together, aren't we? And you kind of go, look, other Americans are really hurting. This TARP thing, you know, worked out better than we thought. But, you know, at some point, they're saying a week ago, we're trying to protect Medicare, and now they're like, what? Expand Medicare? No! You know? Then they're running against the TARP funds, and now it's like it's turned out well for us, and they're still against it.
Well, I mean, I think there's one thing that the TARP funds have worked out well, just as was expected, that we would get some money back with quite a nice rate of interest. But the other part is that the logic of using TARP money continues. The TARP money was there to help stabilize the financial system. The financial system is still struggling with large amounts of bad loans. So if you use now the TARP money that's left over, or some of the money that's coming back, to create jobs, to make it easier for people to repay their loans, you're ultimately working off some of these bad loans. And that's exactly what TARP was meant to do. So I think the TARP was always, from the beginning, a trial and error package, because we've never been in a crisis like this since the Great Depression.
Right.
So this is just another way of the administration saying, look, we still have a lot of bad debt out there. Let's make sure that people have jobs so they can pay back the debt, so that the bad debt becomes good debt, and that the banks then will start lending again. The other part is one of the problems that we had in the beginning was that this is a too big to fail. It's like big companies being financed by big banks. You do need to diversify your economy. You can't just let the big banks and the big companies survive. You do need to make sure that you support the small businesses,
right,
that they ultimately contribute, and they tend to invest more, actually. So I think focusing now on the small businesses, the ones that have survived through the crisis, who have a good chance of staying in business for quite some time, I think that's the right target, and the TARP is the right vehicle to do this.
Well, Christian, as you say, there's always, you know, politics and everything, but, you know, it seems to me as a layperson, without a fancy PhD in pulling things out of my ass, that, you know, the TARP funds and the stimulus are kind of working as they're supposed to, aren't they? I mean, again, not that things are great, but it seems like they are going in the right direction.
That's correct. I think people had unrealistic expectations. I think people really thought that when Obama came in on January 22nd, there was a magic switch in the White House that nobody knew about beforehand, that he could just flip and all of a sudden things would look rosy again. But instead, he continued to look at the evidence, use the tools at his disposal, the TARP, the financial bailout, and the stimulus, to end the financial crisis, the financial panic that we're in a year ago, to end the recession. And we always knew that the last thing that you need to address, because it's the last thing that moves, is the labor market. And that's exactly what the administration is attempting. But you're correct. What the evidence of these two big interventions shows is that public policy, when designed right, can actually do good things.
Well, and, you know, in terms of, you mentioned the Depression, I mean, wasn't unemployment like at 30% or something at that point? So, you know, when you're just trying to compare, what's up?
Right. It depends on how you measure it, but yeah, 25 to 30 is probably the lower end of where we were, and that's exactly what we stared at in the fall of 2008 when we started talking about both a TARP and a new stimulus. The danger of slipping into a recession, into a depression, was serious, and yes, the recession turned out more severe than we thought it would be, but the other part is the financial interventions have helped. The banks are lending again. They're not lending as fast and as much as we would like them to, but they're certainly blending again. And the other part is the recession has ended, by all accounts. So at this point, you do need to make sure that this was not for naught, that the what moves forward
forward is actually going to move, that the economy will move forward at full steam, and that requires a real recovery in the labor market.
Christian, you know, we always appreciate your take, because I think that, like you say, it's always politics, but to me, when it's the economy and it's numbers, there are demonstrable facts about things getting better that, you know, that are hard to dispute, and I guess I'm of the opinion that, you know, this president inherited such a mess on every level. I mean, I think you're right. People thought we were just going to, be out of, Iraq and Afghanistan overnight. The economy was going to overnight be better. I think that, you know, the stuff he's done has showed a slow deliberation on almost all of those topics, and I think we're heading in the right direction on everything.
We are heading in the right direction. At this point, it's about securing those gains and making sure that you bring back 10, 12 million jobs that you need to bring back in the next 2 years. And the private sector is not creating it. I just looked at the numbers. The non-financial corporations are incredibly profitable again. Their profits have risen by 33-35% in the last 9 months, and most of that money goes into their checking accounts. They're just sitting on the cash, and you just really need to get them to spend it. You need to get them to invest. You need to get them to hire more people, and the one thing we know is not going to do it is tax cuts. Massive tax cuts for rich people is what the Bush administration tried, and it blew a hole in the deficit without actually improving investment or hiring. So I think the lessons from the last 5-10 years is let's do something else. Like targeted, well-defined policy interventions can have a real positive effect, a real bang for the buck, and that's exactly what we need at this point.
Yep. Christian Weller, you are my favorite fancy economist guy. Thank you so much for taking time for us, as
thank
always.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. You made my day.
All right, thank you. I just feel like he spoons me economically.
Mighty good man.
And I feel bad.
Mighty, mighty good man.
You know, Chris, he's right. You can't hold on to your money. What you really ought to do if you were a fine American, if you really wanted to jolt the economy, you'd go to StephanieMiller.com and you'd pick up, I don't know, the Steph Cast for only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
Makes a great present.
That's what I do. Something in the Step store.
That's how I stimulate things.
Spend all your money and move to New York. Or pick up some coffee from USA Coffee Company.
Exactly. Pro Flowers. Type Stephanie in the box.
Or you can buy Going Rouge by going to StephanieMiller.com.
Oh, there's a banner ad for that on StephanieMiller.com as well. Buy a GM car while you're out.
Or you can have a public option to save $127 billion off a deficit.
Oh, wait.
Oh. Oh, dear.
Sorry.
Why do you have to be our buzzkill, John Bielsang?
Because you're right there with the sound effect.
I was playing people into a buying frenzy there.
Fugelsang is actually Danish for buzzkill.
Yes, that's it.
Jumping Yemeni.
Well, now there's only one thing to do, Jim, and that's listen to George Bush sing a Christmas version of Led Zeppelin's Whole Lotta Love.
Welcome to the Christmas Passionate Feast. Each year we gather here to celebrate the season of hope and joy, and to remember the story of one humble life that lifted the sights of humanity. Santa, thanks for coming. Glad you made it. I know you got a lot of commitments this time of year, but I appreciate all our entertainers. Thanks for being here. It was a fantastic evening. Christmas is a time to rejoice and to give thanks for the blessings of the season. We also remember that we have a responsibility to help those in need.
What to do?
To the Batmobile. And to turn on the lights. And would you help turn on these lights as well by counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Christmas is coming. And it's taking a long time. We got a chance to get some big things done. I've got a message from God. Yeah, a vision of love. It's God's gift to the world. I've got a whole lot of love. Check. I've got a whole lot of love. I've got a whole lot of love. Christmas is coming. Peace to the world. I'm on a mission from God. I've got a whole lot of love. Wow.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. That is something to be thankful for this holiday season. George Bush is no longer president.
Sure. Mm.
Which is, everybody's bitching about Obama getting the Nobel Prize too early. Mm-hmm. I say there should be a prize for not being George Bush. They should set aside an award just for not being George Bush.
I give Barry a pass on that. He didn't ask for the award.
That's
right. I mean, that's why he had to blow off King Harold. It wasn't cool. He can't be seen rolling around in it over with the Nobel guys. He's got to pull back from this.
Exactly. We'll tell you what I thought about the speech and what you thought as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Eek. I just spewed on my dashboard again. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
24 minutes after the hour.
What?
Sorry, me. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We are joined by John Fugelsang for Fridays with Fugelsang. Yay!
Holla, holla.
All free hour, 3 hours here in our New York studio. Representative Chris Van Hollen coming right up. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. James in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, James.
Stephanie, thank you for taking my call. Before I start going or talking, I just want to agree with you really quick. I couldn't agree with you more on the Republican Party being the party of no. And they're the party of yes when they're in office, and they couldn't agree, or they will bend over backwards for each other, but they absolutely stand for nothing. And I will say that first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll go to my point. I'm a businessman. I invest in other companies. I am an investor, and I also run two different companies. I'm 21, and I've done very well. And if I was to look at a business and they told me, hey, here's the deal. We failed in 7 different areas completely miserably, and we've lost millions and millions and millions of dollars. But we want to start up another company in the same line of work that we've already failed in miserably. There's no way in the world I would invest in them.
Medicare hasn't failed miserably.
Medicare hasn't failed.
It works.
Correct, according to you. So now I'm
No, according to the existence of the system. Ask your grandma.
Ask anyone on Medicare if they'd like to get rid of their Medicare.
Yeah, ask your grandma.
So if I was to...
he blows right over that.
No. I can ask my grandma. My grandma doesn't take it. She will not go on Medicare because of one reason.
She's rich.
She does not believe in using other people's money for herself. That's why.
Well, it's
she's rich.
Her money.
Too.
Yeah, she's rich. Okay, she can afford it. Yeah, great.
Rich?
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to call her rich.
Does she put out her own fires?
She has family members to help provide for her.
Does she put out her own fires? Does she build her own roads?
The fire department's not making a profit.
No, sir,
I think we should get rid of it.
That's the government's job. That's actually constitutionally the government's job. The Constitution
is promoting the general welfare.
But if you don't have life, how do you get to liberty or happiness? Yeah. I mean, why isn't health care a right?
It doesn't bother you when it comes to murdering children, does it?
Okay.
Thanks for calling. All right.
Talking point. Murder children!
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
Negroes, French.
Yeah. You throw in abortion when you lose the argument.
Yeah.
That's real.
Nazi
right.
Healthcare.
At least I only kill French Negro babies. That's the important thing, I think.
Gay French Negro babies.
Yes, that's the important thing we've uncovered here.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, I would have kept that guy on to get deeper into
I want to know where he got the money to invest in all these companies. Maybe from his rich grandma.
His rich grandmother that doesn't need Medicare. Yeah. It's just on principle.
She doesn't believe in using someone else's money when we've got so much of our own.
You know, Jim, you remember that teabagger rally where one of the teabaggers had a heart attack?
Yes.
Government healthcare workers had to go
saved
help.
His
I
life.
Wonder if he
right.
had the principle to.
No, don't save me!
I don't want
help!
No,
don't make me socialist!
At least he died a capitalist death.
Yes.
You know, here's the thing, my so-called Christian friends. If you don't believe in helping the sick, stop calling yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
And people always say, oh, but Jesus said we should do that, not the government. The government shouldn't pick our pockets to do it. Folks, it's America.
We are the government.
Yeah, if we have values to help the needy, our government reflects it.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
The government is the enemy. It kills babies.
You know what? If you
I would have liked to be at that funeral. I'm sorry. We gather here. We are very sad, although he could have lived, but at least he died a capitalist.
I respect people who are opposed to abortion for moral reasons, but if you don't want tax dollars paying for abortion because all life is sacred, stop using my tax dollars to pay for executions for the same reason.
Yep.
28 minutes after the hour, Representative Chris Van Hollen next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She feels weird in a good way.
Weird in a good way? Huh. Like going to the gym drunk.
Is that weird? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free for it from anywhere. We are knee deep in Fridays with Fugelsang. John Fugelsang joins us live in the New York Bureau here. And Representative Chris Van Hollen, who has some fancy title that has to do with getting Democrats elected, which we can never remember, is on the phone. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie, you don't need to remember that as long as we get them reelected.
That's right.
There you go. There you go. So, Congressman, you've talked to me first about this Wall Street reform bill because I just had an economist on, and I sometimes really try to get my mind around why the Republicans are against things. And I can't really find a good reason, like the TARP funds being used to help small businesses because it's done better than we expected. So what's going on with the Wall Street bill, and why do the Republicans oppose this now?
Yeah, this is really unbelievable, and I think people are going to really be wondering what has happened to the Republican Party. And frankly, this is one of the reasons you see a lot of Tea Party activists having lost faith in the Republican Party, because the Republican Party has so clearly become the party of the special interests and the big banks and Wall Street.
Yeah, when you saw that poll showing that the Tea Party candidate would beat the Republican candidate and the Democrat would drub both of them,
Exactly, but this is why, because this, look, we're focused rightly on jobs right now, and we're trying to get this health care reform bill passed. But if we do not hold Wall Street accountable and fix the regulatory system for big banks, we're going to get right back into the mess we were before, where we had the collapse of the financial industry, and they essentially held the whole American economy hostage, and they asked the taxpayer to essentially bail them out. And by opposing this bill, the Republicans are saying, let's just go do that one more time. You know, let's leave the taxpayer holding the bag.
Yeah, I'm sure they've learned their lesson. I'm sure they won't do it again. We don't need any regulation.
Let's just let the Bernie Madoffs of the world keep doing what they're doing. We won't strengthen the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission. And by the way, there's this huge part of the market that included all those credit default swaps that AIG was involved with that we won't even lift up the rug and look what's under there. They want to put their heads in the sand. They're in there with the big banks, who, like business as usual, who would love to go back to the way they were doing everything that led to the meltdown. And there was a great headline the other day in one of the newspapers that said, the Republican leader John Boehner was huddling with the lobbyists to kill the financial reform bill. And that's exactly what they're doing. And if we go down that path, the consumer and the taxpayer are going to be left holding the bag once again.
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, Congressman, but it really does get irritating. You know, we had Christian Weller, who's an economist, on, and he's just an economist, but he's saying he's angry. The Republicans are just, there are things that are quantitative, like we were talking about with numbers. I mean, whether it's the CBO report showing that the stimulus is working as it intended, the TARP funds obviously worked better than expected. That's why we have money now to help small business. You know, it just seems like they said it, I guess. It's all about defeating the president, but at some point that's just so bad for the country, you know?
Well, Stephanie, look, they were pretty clear. Their playbook was a cynical playbook about, trying to say no to everything that the president wanted, and not just saying no, but actively working with special interests to undermine a legislation to try and, protect the public and try and get jobs going. I mean, they are the party of pessimism. They've been rooting for failure. And that's reflected in their votes on these things. And there's a very clear and consistent pattern emerging. I give them one thing, an A for consistency, because when it comes to health care reform, when they finally came up with their so-called bill, it was one that could have been written by the insurance companies. I mean, it was a big special interest bill, a status quo bill. When they opposed our energy bill, our new energy strategy, once again, their proposals could have been written by the big oil companies, and it was, against trying to get energy independence for the United States. They opposed the credit card holder Bill of Rights, siding with the credit card industry. And when we passed legislation on higher education, trying to make sure that less money went to the banks and the middlemen and more went to students to help them afford college, they sided with the banks. So, it is very clear that
again,
if it's the consumer against the special interest, they're every time there with the special interest.
But that's what I mean. The Wall Street thing just burns me up because it's just how do they think we got here? I mean, do they literally think there is no cause and effect, that it wasn't the lack of regulation that got us where we are? I mean,
this is like, you know, either you're just sound asleep and you can't wake up and you slept through the last crisis, or, and this seems to be the case given the headlines of, you know, again, you know, John Boehner meeting with all the lobbyists, or you really do want to just work with the special interest to subvert this effort to protect the consumer and the taxpayer. Because, you know, this is one of those things, you know, fool me twice, shame on me. I mean, if we don't take some action now to protect the taxpayer, we have only ourselves to blame. And in this case, unfortunately, it's the Republicans that are once again trying to, you know, kill
See, and here's the difference again between Democrats and Republicans is you got that right, and George Bush could not for the life of him get that fool me once thing together.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Stephanie, let's just let people know what's in this. And look, we say shareholders should have a say on the pay for the big executives. I mean, that just seems right, that the people who have shares in the company should not allow the company to be hijacked by executives that just feather their own nests. What we saw in the last meltdown was that pay for performance got turned on its head. People got, they got paid when they did well, but they got paid even better when they did badly. We have a consumer protection component to make sure that consumers aren't taken advantage of. And when it comes to these big derivatives, you know, the credit default swaps and things like that, that were where Wall Street was essentially making these huge bets and putting the entire economy at risk with their bets, and then asked the taxpayer to come and bail them out when their bets went bad, we're saying no more of that.
Good.
No more putting the entire economy at risk by your bad bets. It's unbelievable that these other guys, you'll want to essentially say, you know, go ahead with business as usual.
Yeah. I know. It's like I remember having I had a friend that was whose family was very well off, and she was out of college and saying, I'm on my own now. I mean, I'm really making it on my own. I'm like, you have your dad's credit card.
Yeah.
So if anything goes wrong, you don't have to cover
your
own.
You have a safety net. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Now, Congressman, let's get to health care real quick before you go. I know, you know, a lot of progressives split on this, but, you know, I'm liking what I'm hearing so far out of the Senate compromise. You know, I want to get your take on it.
Well, first of all, it's not exactly clear yet what the details of this compromise are. So we're it's a little bit of a wait and see. I obviously like the House bill with the public option we have.
Me too.
The idea of buying into a Medicare, allowing people between the ages of 55 and 65. To buy into Medicare has an attractiveness to it. That doesn't mean it should substitute for the public option, though, for people who are below 55. They do have this proposal out there, I think, to allow OPM, the Office of Personnel Management, to essentially establish a nationwide program. And, again, we just don't know enough about the details of that to see how it would work and what it would cost. So, you know, I'm going to give them, some benefit of the doubt. Although, you know,
that sounds a little equivocal.
Look, until we really see the details, I think it's a little risky to say, you know, this is a good idea. I am confident that the House bill is a good bill.
Congressman, I solved the whole problem last time we talked. As I suggested, you put forward a resolution dismantling the Senate, but you didn't seem to think that would fly. So
I'm warming to the idea.
Representative Chris Van Hollen, of the great state of Maryland. Thanks so much for taking time for us, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Right, there he goes. All right, he's you know, Chris, head of the Democratic Congressional
Campaign Committee
and get. Company and in siding and roofing. All right.
Member FDIC.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Battery's not clear.
Your results might vary.
You know, James Madison said the primary purpose of government is to protect property from the masses. Now, he recanted that before he died, but I think we see that still playing out with the modern Republican Party. They are not conservative. No Republicans balanced a budget once since Nixon.
Yep.
Clinton did it 8 years in a row. That makes Bill Clinton a sane fiscal conservative. These guys spend money like Amy Winehouse in Amsterdam. There's nothing conservative about their agenda, and it's time to take the labels away from them.
What was she be buying
medicine?
In Amsterdam. Oh, I get it.
Hair products
right.
extension.
Yes.
Hair extension. 43 minutes after the hour. All right, the President's Nobel speech. What we think, what you think, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tom in Iowa on the healthcare debate. Hey, Tom, welcome.
Welcome. Back to you. Hey, how can you guys even consider a $2 trillion entitlement program or a 12% omnibus increase in spending when the country's going broke?
What are you talking about? Are you talking about the Medicare expansion?
Yeah, it's a healthcare program. That we're trying to get pushed through.
Healthcare is breaking our economy. How can we afford not to have healthcare reform?
Yeah, you know, I've had my own health insurance since I got out of college. I'm currently 45 years old. I pay my bill.
Good for you. You can afford it. Most people can't, Tom.
It's the number one cause of bankruptcy in America.
Do you like the cost of your health insurance? How are you going to feel when it goes up and up and then they drop you when you get sick?
What everybody fails to realize...
answer her question, Tom.
They won't drop me because I continue to pay my premium.
They will
yeah,
if you get sick.
If
you
get sick,
and get a pre-existing condition, absolutely they will.
No, they will do that only when I want to switch policies. And that's why you buy insurance before you need it.
No.
Because you don't have a pre-existing injury or
Tom,
health issue.
If you, God forbid, get cancer, they can drop you.
My wife has cancer, and they haven't dropped her yet.
Yes. The good news is your figures are a bit off. The Congressional Budget Office estimates that over 10 years, a full public option would cost only $1.2 trillion. The Iraq occupation over 10 years costs $2.4 trillion, exactly twice as much. And now they've gotten the public option down to under $1 trillion. So
well,
it shaves $127 billion off the deficit.
You're not counting the first 4 years, right?
I'm counting the first 10 years. I'm counting the first... I'm counting the first 10 years.
Benefits are paid out in the first 4 years. So after four years, what's it going to cost in 10 years?
You feel like our health care system is working perfectly. We should just leave it as it is?
No, ma'am. What's wrong with health savings accounts? Something that's portable that each individual can control.
You know what? That can be thrown in the mix as part of the competition.
Do you really think for-profit health insurance is going to get us out of this mess, sir?
I think that there are other alternatives out there way better than the public option. You know, I look at some of these other countries, Europe, Canada, and it was funny.
Europe's
I was at the
country.
Doctor the other day and had a routine surgery done that they said, oh, yeah, we have people. We just had somebody from Australia and Canada here this week for the same surgery.
Yeah, but
they'd be coming to Des Moines, Iowa. Have that surgery done if they could get it done in Canada?
But
or,
sir, but no one's questioning America has the finest medicine and treatment. It's
if
the
you can
access
afford it.
To that care.
If you can afford it.
That's what the question is about.
All right, Tom, thank you for calling. Jim, I just think people automatically disqualify when they think Europe's a country. I'm just saying.
Right.
But the country of Europe.
Africa's a country with a lot of diseases.
You got to name me one capitalist society that's had universal health care and dropped it.
Oh, there's Afghanistan.
Why can't we have what the other capitalist countries have?
Republicans.
John in Missouri, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, John.
Hi there. I was just wondering, does the Constitution guarantee capitalism?
Absolutely not.
Doesn't mention it.
That's what I was thinking. Therefore, when you have these people that say, well, universal health care is not constitutional, well, where's their argument here?
Exactly.
And I would argue promoting the general welfare covers health insurance pretty nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there you go. The president accepted the Nobel Peace Prize yesterday.
I am at the beginning and not the end of my labors on the world stage. Compared to some of the giants of history who have received this prize, Schweitzer and King, Marshall, and Mandela, my accomplishments are slight.
In a related story, he was immediately given the Nobel Sheepish Acceptance Prize.
Yeah. He seemed a little bit embarrassed.
He didn't seem embarrassed. Jim, that's humility, right? I haven't seen that in our government in quite some time. He went on to say...
I cannot argue with those who find these men and women, some known, some obscure to all but those they help, to be far more deserving of this honor than I.
He's being honest. I thought it was a great speech. I thought it was honest. I thought it had humility. I thought he made a good point, though. I know it's always unsettling when conservatives praise the speech, but I think they missed his point entirely that, you know, war should always be the last resort. He's just saying it is sometimes necessary. The point he made, because he mentioned Dr. King there, he said, as someone who stands here as a direct consequence of Dr. King's life works, I'm a living testimony to the moral force of nonviolence. I know there is nothing weak, nothing passive, nothing naive in the creed and lives of Gandhi and King, but as a head of state sworn to protect and defend a nation, I cannot be guided by their examples alone. And I think that's a good point. Martin Luther King wasn't a commander-in-chief. He didn't, you know, so he. I think he talked about... evil existing in the world. He said, you know, a nonviolent movement cannot have halted Hitler's armies. Negotiations cannot convince al-Qaeda's leaders to lay down their arms. To say that force is sometimes necessary is not a call to cynicism. It's a recognition of history, the imperfections of man and the limits of reason. I thought it was an extraordinary speech.
I'm with the progressives who are, you know, kind of upset about it. I mean, you want to joke about it. You want to be able to say David Hasselhoff just got the Nobel Sobriety Prize and Spencer Pratt just got the Nobel Dignity Prize. But the fact of the matter is it's not the Nobel Pacifism Prize. And I give Barry a pass on this. I really do. Obama, I think, was caught in a really difficult place when he was given this award, and there was some level of embarrassment. He really has to walk a line here, and I think that's why he did blow off a lot of the events in Norway, which have offended many European friends, by the way. They're very angry that Obama blew off King Harold and didn't go to the reception parties. Mm-hmm. But he can't be seen to be swimming around in it and soaking up all the glory when he's in the midst of a troop surge and a healthcare crisis at home. So I think he did a really, really good job of being in a tough position and making his point. He ran saying he would increase forces in Afghanistan. He's saying exactly what he promised.
He talked about being commander-in-chief.
Perhaps the most profound issue surrounding my receipt of this prize is the fact that I am the commander-in-chief of a military, of a nation, in the midst of two wars.
He said there will be times when nations acting individually or in concert will find the use of force not only necessary but morally justified. I think, Jim, am I right that did the Republicans that were praising the speech not miss the whole point when he talked about just wars? I think his point implicit is that George Bush started an unjust war.
Yes.
And he's not going to do that.
If you read between the lines, yeah.
Yeah, the president.
Evil does exist in the world. A nonviolent movement could not have halted Hitler's armies. Negotiations cannot convince al-Qaeda's leaders to lay down their arms. To say that force may sometimes be necessary is not a call to cynicism. It is a recognition of history.
In other words, shock and awe.
I didn't particularly care for his speech, and, you know, we'll be hearing this next hour, but Charles Krauthammer said it was the best speech he's ever heard Obama give.
Well,
and so it's like,
you go. I mean, the speech itself, a lot of us take issue with the fact that should we even have troops in Afghanistan?
Yeah.
Let's not forget, we haven't declared war since 1941. We have two occupations, not two wars.
Yeah.
And, I don't think there's a military solution to the Afghanistan problem. It's going to be bribes. It's going to be capitalism that's going to solve it. And it's going to take a very, very long time to do it. That said, he deserved the Nobel Peace Prize for the speech he gave in Cairo last spring alone to the Muslim world.
Right.
He deserved it for promising to close Guantanamo Bay and trying so hard to do it. Mm-hmm. The guy has enough street cred already that he deserves the award.
Yeah, I get you. It's like what Arianna Huffington said to me on Joy Behar last night. She said, that's not why we get the Peace Prize for war. We cannot just be a cheerleader for Obama. Just because we are
and she's right. She's right.
Yeah, she's absolutely right.
She's right, but...
That's a bush trap.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think the right wing that praised the speech, they did. They were missing the point when he talks about there is a difference, and I think, right, Jim, implicit was... The Iraq war was unjust and was, in my opinion, immoral and illegal.
What the Republicans jumped all over was him using the same language as Bush did about, evil exists in the world.
Exactly.
Which he used to justify Iraq.
Right, exactly.
It would have been nicer to say Iraq was wrong in the speech.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. Well, anyway, all right. More on the speech, the healthcare debate, celebrity stack, and much more as we continue. 57 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com. Mama's appearance on Joy Behar is up there on the YouTube section. I will be on Joy Behar again tonight on CNN Headline News and also on The Ed Show on MSNBC. Zoinks.
Holy crap. The crew day of all of our dreams.
It is Fridays with Fuglesang, everybody. John Fuglesang here in our New York studio. The Mooks and Rebecca back in L.A. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, Emmy award-winning voice deity Jim Ward.
Hello.
Surly associate producer Rebecca Taylor or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, like somebody did, Chris, I forgot and
what?
Told me that since I've been in New York, my box is too low.
Yes.
Which I'm sure there's a surgeon for that, but...
Do you have a dangling box?
Apparently, Jim. Chris, this is why, technically we're still getting the kinks out. And when I say kinks, I refer to me.
Ray
because
Davies.
I now have to run some buttons. So what they're saying is my box, see? I
now it's
it
too low.
Yeah, now it's too hot. Okay.
No,
see,
that's perfect.
I also control
this
John's
Fuglesang
mic. Talk, John.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, jeez, that was a little rough.
Yeah, is that okay?
I don't
I don't think I should have been put in charge of this.
Probably not.
Running fingers all over the box. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm getting euphemism poisoning.
No, never fear. I have adjusted my box.
You should not be in charge of your own box.
No,
apparently
not.
It's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wait till John Thune's president. We'll fix that.
All right. I think it's all fine now. Okay. Meanwhile, what's the... Oh, Chris, the update.
Is now it's too hot. Now it's too hot, as we say in the biz.
My box is too hot?
Yes.
This
you
one's
just right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
The update is my dog's diarrhea medicine is here. It's arrived by FedEx from L.A., so everything is fine.
For some reason, she's grounded into powder and is cutting into the lines with a credit card, but...
Yeah. Other than
dog
that,
everything's here anyway.
Everything's good. And now, here in honor of the season, is a farting jingle bell.
So proud to be associated with this show.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ken. I think we get the beautiful. We get the general
What are those
idea.
Reindeer eating? They need your diarrhea medication.
It took him a lot of eggnog to be able to compose that, and I want you guys to show a little more respect.
All right. Lots to get to. Celebrity stack and much more. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Yes. Oh, dear. You know, Bill O'Reilly and the Glenn Beck have a live show there. John, I don't know if you've
so
seen
exciting.
The bold, fresh pile of...
The bold, fresh Christmas sweater.
Show. No, it's not. This is a different thing than
the bold,
Christmas
fresh
sweater.
Christmas sweater. It's not the same.
No.
I thought they were becoming the same guy.
No.
Yeah.
This is O'Reilly on the...
Let me make a prediction. If Beck and O'Reilly take the bold, fresh tour to Oslo,
yeah.
Number one, we'll sell out.
Huge.
But number two, no one from America ever again will win anything.
May I?
Okay, that'll be the end of that.
Yeah. Ooh, which American wouldn't like to be represented by them? Yes,
yeah.
That's like the Ugly American tour.
Mm.
By the way, can I just say, if nothing else, it made me proud to be an American again, listening to the president's speech yesterday. Just saying.
Mm. Indeed. Bill O'Reilly is to patriotism what Bill O'Reilly is to marital fidelity. He gets the Golden Lufo Award at Oslo.
Well, such a shock that the right wing would not be fans of the president receiving the Nobel Peace Prize yesterday. Hannity and gambling Bill Bennett.
Oh, yeah. He's got gravitas.
Why do you think they wanted him to have this prize, considering he's really accomplished nothing?
Bash Bush. They wanted to bash Bush. That was the point of giving him the prize.
I see. He's accomplished nothing.
I have not seen Sean Hannity that mad since Barney took his Fruity Pebbles.
Barney!
Hannity again on the Republican Party.
What happens in this coming election year? Because I contend that the Republican Party lost their way, but they're standing against health care, cap and tax, the omnibus, the big budgets, health care. So I think there's bold differences now between the two parties. They seem
yes.
to be going back conservative. Are we witnessing the ascendancy of the conservative movement within the Republican Party once again?
No.
Yes, you can build a party, Jim, on being against everything and having not one idea of your own. Just being, yes.
I got news from the teabaggers are starting their own party, and the Republicans are going to be a slim minority.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
Sean's not going to be too slim.
Yeah, well, Dick Morris certainly won't be. But.
Yeah.
Steve Hayes on the Britt Baer Show on Medicare.
When you have a program that is going to be insolvent in between 5, 8, 10 years, estimates vary, could bankrupt the entire U.S. government if the spending trajectory continued through the year 2078, and you have people saying, let's take that and use it as the model for reform. I mean, it is absolutely insane that they would consider doing this with Medicare.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, well, then why don't you vote for the thing to destroy it? Who came up with that bill?
It's so great that Al Gore didn't get to do that lockbox on Social Security. We made fun of him for it.
Yeah.
He was right.
A lockbox.
We were wrong about everything. We never questioned one single Bush policy over 8 years, and we have no humility.
We made fun of Ross Perot and his charts, and he was right about NAFTA.
They were all right. We were wrong, and we're still angry at you.
Charles Krauthammer on the Nobel speech.
Well, I thought it was the best speech he's ever given on the foreign soil. Now, I know that sounds slightly ironic and cynical because it's a low bar, but he did have a defense in the first third of the speech, which was the good part, a defense, a robust defense of war in general as a necessity.
War is a necessity.
Yeah, he
can't live without war.
The point entirely of the speech, but okay.
He just picked up Krauthammer's new gig doing a Just for Men eyebrow color. we're very excited about that.
Yeah.
He's starting to look like the Count from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
He's an odd-looking man.
But he does look like one of the melting faces on Indiana Jones. That he and Arlen Specter, they have the melting faces.
And McDonald's.
They looked at the Ark.
That's right.
Exactly, Jim. That's what happened. Earl in Ann Arbor, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, hi. I'm calling about Richie Rich at the bottom of last hour talking about Medicare.
Refused Medicare because she doesn't want to take other people's money, something. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, I might want to remind him that he's such a, you know, successful businessman, but every paycheck that I pay into Medicare, so that's my money. And if Grandma is opposed to taking other people's money, if she has never worked, then she relied on other people's money her entire life.
I gotta say, she made a fortune selling bootleg moonshine, but I don't know. That's just my. She seemed to have some wealth of some sort, didn't she, John?
If you don't like public money, give back your Bush tax cut, my friend.
Yeah.
Give it back. Yeah. Give it back, you teeth sucking little piglet.
There you go. Tom in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Tom.
Well, you know, I pay like $364 a month for my Cobra, right? Which runs out on March 1st, so you'll be paying for my. Is the ER pretty soon. But the thing is, that's $4,368 a year. Now, if you times that by 300 million people, that's like a little bit over $1.3 trillion. So all the people who say that are they going to raise the taxes by, $1 trillion and stuff like that, guess what? First of all, if you can cut, 25% off the top of the rake-off that's being done by these health insurance company executives, you're already saving money and you're already actually providing more care. But more importantly, it's just a matter of, it's not like your taxes are going up. That money's coming from someplace, whether it's, from what your employer decides to pay you so they can pay that. Give you that health care, et cetera. And so
it comes from somewhere. All right, I got it, honey. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
Why do conservative Christians fight to protect for-profit health care while celebrating the birthday of a guy who gave health care away for free?
I don't think they thought that through.
Thank you.
The logic monster.
Very nice holiday thought. Thank you. Dr. Bill in Orange County. Oh, no! Hi, Dr. Bill.
Hey, hi you guys.
I just wanted to bring up that pretty much along the lines what the last guy just said, which is that, you know, these people who point out that the public plan is going to cost them a trillion or $2, $1 or $2 trillion, that is, are really just saying that this is money that we're already paying, and we're just not getting the health care that we're paying for. And when Medicare operates at a 3% administrative rate and private insurance at a 33% administrative rate, there's a savings right there.
Uh-huh.
Yep, very good. You are the smartest boy in class. Thank you.
Well, he has a doctorate.
Exactly, so. He's a doctor.
Yeah.
Dr. Susan.
Bill.
He's a class trader.
Susan. Susan in, I think, Connecticut, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Suze.
Hi there. I just wanted to make the point with all of these people who are opposed to socialized medicine that when the socialized country sends someone here for medical care,
Yes. They
pay for it. If I had to go to Japan or to Israel because that's where the treatment was available, Yes. My private insurance company would let me die.
Yes, right. Yes.
They don't understand that it is getting paid for when they come here. It's not
and we're not disputing that, yes, you can get some surgeries here, you can't get there, but the point is, if you can afford it, that's the problem.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And who can afford it? I can't afford to go to Japan to have my pancreas removed. I mean, I could sell my husband and my house and my three kids, and then I might be able to pay for, you know, a pancreas transplant or whatever, you know, needs transplanted. But
think how good the sushi would be, though, just saying.
There you go. I'll stop the sushi.
Sorry you hate profits.
Thank you. Jeff in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the healthcare debate as well. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, like your caller earlier, you was trying to say, or rather against it, the problem in this country is not that the government is spending or has spent too much money. The problem is that we are still in a near depression situation. We're facing a potential of deflation. The highest priority is for us to rebuild and get employment going, and Herbert Hoover was not right.
That's right.
All right, thank you. Rhonda and Madison, last one. Hey, Rhonda.
Oh, she's gone.
Oh, sorry, Buddy in Columbus.
And
hey,
he's
buddy.
Gone, too.
Oh,
yeah, we don't have any more.
People are impatient.
They come and go so quickly around here.
Fine. We have a celebrity stack. Oh, there's a good Rolling Stone thing that John Fugelsang found.
Oh, it just is worth pointing out that Rolling Stone has released their 100 best albums of the decade and 100 best songs of the decade. Really quick, the top five albums, White Stripes Elephant, Jay-Z The Blueprint, Wilco, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, The Strokes, This Is It, and the top album of the decade, Radiohead Kid A.
Oh,
hip list.
We'll get in a big fight over that.
No Miley Cyrus anywhere.
And the top celebrity gay icons have also been named. We'll get in a fight over all of that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, John Fugelsang, here's a fun fact. Don't forget, Mama on Joy Behar tonight on CNN Headline News and also on The Ed Show on MSNBC.
Joy Behar and The Ed Show in the same night.
Well, we pre-taped something yesterday that'll air tonight, and then I'm on The Ed Show live.
It's a good Friday to have no friends and no social
life.
Stay home and watch.
Like me.
I'll be TiVoing you all night.
So here was a fun fact, Chris. Is one of the camera people for Joy Behar?
Yep.
Was a camera person for one of my canceled television shows. Hmm. It's almost impossible for me to go anywhere where there's not a camera person from at least one of my canceled TV shows.
Was it the late night show?
No, it was one of the Oxygen shows.
Oh, the morning Pure Oxygen thingy.
Yes. That one. I'm always like, every time I sit down on the set, someone's waving to me from behind the camera. I'm like, Which Castle TV show are you from? Okay.
I have the same thing, but with all my unproduced pilots. So it's almost as exciting as being canceled, but I didn't quite get to have the cancellation experience.
All right. So Rolling Stone came out with a list of what are the top songs of all time?
The top songs of the past decade. Unfortunately, no Miley Cyrus, but their number one song of the past. You know, the hipsters hate these lists, but Rolling Stone did a pretty good job of taking pop songs.
Yeah.
Number five, M.I.A., Paper Planes.
Yep.
It's a good song.
Yeah, it is.
Number four, Outkast, Hey Ya. That's going to be around forever. It's a great
I love
song.
Hey Ya.
Number three, Beyonce, Crazy in Love. Terrific mm-hmm. song.
Yes.
It's the one Beyonce song that people can like. Number two, Jay-Z, or if you're British, Jay-Z, with 99 Problems. And number one is Gnarls Barkley with Crazy.
Okay.
You know? So that's I go to RollingStone.com and check out their list. I'm kind of impressed.
I'm no ZZ Top. I'm not familiar with that Jay-Z song.
Oh,
neither am I.
You don't know 99 Problems?
I'm sure I do. I just don't know it by name.
If you haven't girl problems, I feel bad for you, son.
I thought you meant 99 Red Balloons. You know, Chris, my musical knowledge stopped somewhere back in the 80s.
Well, it stopped in 92 when you were let go from Hot 97.
Oh, the last time I was fired from radio.
Yeah, exactly.
More specific. When I was fired from radio or television?
The last time you worked in music radio. That's the only music you know.
That's the last music radio job I was
doing. Right.
Okay, well, there is no air supply. I'm really sorry.
I should have kept them good.
Virtually no rush.
All right. This is the one that's the really, wow, is just working my last nerve, Chris. Can you believe this? They have named the top 10 celebrity gay icons of all time. Elton John, the number one male one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the whole list, and I've turned more men gay than any woman in the country.
That is true.
Look at this. Judy Garland, number one. Kylie Minogue, number two.
You should get an assist, at least.
Madonna, Cher, Liza Minnelli, Marilyn Monroe, Shirley Bassey, Lily
Bassey.
Savage.
Shirley Bassey.
Bassey. Dusty Springfield.
Back in the closet.
Barbara Streisand. What the hell? I'm not on this list.
Judy and Liza actually were straight people in gay marriages. That's how they got
that
the list.
That is true.
Yeah. I need to marry a Broadway choreographer while I'm here.
And this is the same week that the New Jersey governor said that he will never allow gay marriage in his state.
Oh.
Yeah. But great. 2 out of 5 guys in Jersey think any kind of marriage is totally gay.
I thought Count Basie had a sex change there for a second.
Yeah. Speaking of Liza, she has settled her sexual harassment lawsuit against her former chauffeur. He had filed a $100 million lawsuit claiming that Liza sexually harassed him and then spit on him during drunken rages. The New York Post brings the news that they have settled the $100 million lawsuit for an undisclosed sum. Check this is the fact I couldn't believe. Her driver was making $283,000 a year.
I know men who would pay that to have Liza spit on them. So.
Jim, this will come as a shock. Sir Paul McCartney's marriage to Heather Mills, his biggest regret of the last 10 years, speaking of the last decade.
Shock. Yeah. Really? Yeah, I don't want to be shocking, but Yoko Ono accused Heather Mills of breaking up Paul's solo career.
He said, I suppose the marriage has to be a prime contender for mistake of the decade.
Well,
I thought some albums of his were prime.
Really? More than Ebony and Ivory?
Come on, the last McCartney album was great.
Yes.
The Fireman album was great.
But there was that
great music.
But there was that Liverpool Symphony that he did.
That was in the 90s, my snobby little American friend. That was 1997.
All right.
Earlier than that. And Barbara Walters has named her most fascinating person of the year, and it is Michelle Obama. Did she look awesome when they were going to get the Nobel Prize?
Oh, she's right to bear arms.
She was named the number one, the most fascinating person of 2009. Her guilty pleasure is watching bad TV. She didn't say what, but I think we know what she's talking about. What the fuck? 28 minutes after the hour, back with more of the healthcare debate and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Another poster cougar out there. Who is it?
Stephanie Miller.
She's gorgeous.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Although John Fugelsang and his wife turned me down for a date last night. Whatever.
Swine flu gets in the way.
John's wife is sick or something. I don't know. I asked him to go to the Betty Show, Chris.
Right.
And you know how I moved 3,000 miles on a box wine-induced whim?
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So that I could have more of a life, so I don't have to get up it.
At stupid o'clock.
Yeah, and then I fell asleep on the couch last night. I was supposed to go to Betty and hang out with Gloria Steinem and Leslie Gore, and I don't know. John and his wife turned me down, and then I was out of bullets.
I can't go to Betty's shows because too many folks mistake me for K.D. Lang, and then which is nice because I don't have to wax, but you know, it's no.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Buddy in Columbus. Hey, buddy.
Hey, I'm 21 and a millionaire, and it's in the Constitution that the government should get me clean water and sewer, because that's right in the Constitution. Yeah. Hey, Mama, one thing is on Obama getting the Peace Prize. Mm-hmm. What people forget or they should remember is he went to the capital of a former communist country, Prague, and said, I want to get rid of all the world's nuclear weapons. And he's already got Russia and China to agree to get rid of a third. And for that alone, give him the prize.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. It's just, you know, when something becomes a joke, like on SNL, like, oh, I've accomplished nothing. I mean, there is, you know, there's a lot of things he's accomplished. The Lilly Ledbetter Act, you know, this, like you say, there's exactly, Tom Brokaw.
Buddy,
a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff with Russia and China. Yes, Jim.
Buddy sent me something to say in Tom Brokaw's voice regarding a news story from yesterday.
This
is Tom Brokaw, formerly of NBC Nightly News. Lovely lady linguists are alleged to be lesbian lovers after a liaison in Brooklyn classroom located on the left side of Flatbush Avenue, close to our links with Linden Boulevard. However, had the lesbian liaison occurred in Philadelphia, they could rename the locale the city of Sister I Love.
Oh.
I wrote the last part.
Yeah, I now support cameras in the classrooms after that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
After the hot teacher sex in the classroom
24/7. Wow.
All right, Elaine in Pennsylvania had a pre-existing condition. Hey, Elaine.
For the right winger with insurance, I was an RN paramedic for 20 years with the same insurance. 11 years ago, I had a spinal injury. I was told that I needed rehab for 9 to 12 months. After 10 days in rehab, the business office came in, said, I'm sorry, you've been dropped, pre-existing condition.
Huh.
We ended up losing everything after that, including residency of my children. I'm now on Medicare, and I get much better insurance than I did with Blue Cross Blue Shield for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm, all right. Thank you, Elaine. All right, Jen in Santa Fe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on John Fugelsang.
Ooh.
Good morning,
Hello, Jen.
So is it just me, or does John Fugelsang sound just like Alan Alda?
A little bit.
A little bit,
you know,
yeah.
And I look like K.D. Lang.
A little bit, right?
I took, by the way, I took him to the holiday party here for our syndicator, and all the women were like, who is that? And I'm like, God, he's hot.
Oh, he's
I signed Matt LeBlanc's autograph.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for saying so.
That's when you left the sick wife at home. That's when you, that's from back when you had a social life a week or so ago.
I did. I know. Now
thank
we're...
you.
Flu red zone, but yeah, it's I don't have much of a life out here. I stay home and I rethread the drawstring of my sweatpants and wait for the lights to go out, and that's my life. It's pretty fun. Crank calling ex-girlfriends, you know, a little mail fraud, identity theft, and that's a full night for me.
Liz in Seattle on the T-Baggers. Hey, Liz.
Hi there. I was thinking that if the T-Baggers were going to be an official party, then I was wondering if their symbol was going to be the yam sacks hanging off of an elephant.
Thank you, Liz. Bob in San Francisco on healthcare as well. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I think this negotiating going on about the public auction has turned into a response to those Republican scare the old people ads. And whatever they thought they were going to do, I think now they're just co-opting the Republicans, and they're going to insure old people and maybe fewer of anybody else, but everybody will get it. I mean, who knew they were going to get any access based on the public option that it was developing anyway? So this is
that's what I was saying, Bob, is this does cover more people than whatever resembling a public option that we were talking about. So, you know, I'm
older people. So, you know, people will get less subsidy if they're young, and they may complain about it. But who's going to use it unless they're unemployed? So they don't want insurance. They don't want to pay anybody. They don't want the mandate. The old people are who's being courted, and especially against Blue Dogs in their campaign coming up. And so.
Yep, I hear you. You know, in my opinion, John, on this whole debate, a wiener beats a boner any day.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yes. Anthony Weiner has been out front on this health care debate, big public option guy.
This would not be the first step towards a single-payer system. Right now, 47% of all of our health care financing in the whole country is in a single-payer system.
Is it long of me to, like, pray to the ghost of Ted Kennedy to haunt the Blue Dog Democrats? Where's my public option? I'm your Jacob Marley.
No,
I asked for one public option. I forged this chain and lie.
It's not wrong of you.
Okay, good.
And that's entertaining,
too. That's what I'm praying for.
That's the important thing.
Haunt him, Ted.
Representative Steve Cohen, a Democrat of Tennessee.
You can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And I think whatever we'll get this year, I was for a single payer. But I know reality.
It's reform light. Reform light.
Jim, you know how the Boehner, speaking of which, was blubbering on about how big the health care bill is? It's too long. There's too many words. It's heavy. Yeah, it's harder for him to throw on the floor in a little hissy fit like he's known to have.
What happened to the promise that we're going to let the American people see what's in this bill for 48 hours? But nope. We don't have time to do that.
Okay.
Actually, did you see that clip? The Boehner turned purple. It was horrible.
What is purple mixed with orange? Oh, God, that's an awful color.
Ooh. It's not even public option will not cover spray tans.
So guess what Republican Senator Mike Enzi from Wyoming is saying now? The health care bill isn't long enough. It's not big enough. He said 2,074 pages is nearly enough to cover health care for America. So why is it only 2,074 pages?
Well, it's funny to hear the Republican husband saying it needs to be longer for a change.
Ah, but you know, ladies and slavens. All right. Alex in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Alex.
Thanks. Hi. I feel bad for the woman in Pennsylvania a couple of calls ago that had a spinal injury. Yeah. And speaking of that, in the previous segment, I felt that your comments about Charles Krauthammer were a little disparaging. I live in D.C., and I happened to run into him in the street once. Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with him politically. I didn't say anything.
You might not. You know, you're making fun of his look. I don't know if you know that he's
paralyzed.
Oh, that
was John Fugelson. Yes, he was paralyzed.
He was in a car accident, and I think it's probably our healthcare system that had kept him, you know, probably alive in other countries that have socialized medicine.
It was actually a diving accident.
Okay,
that's a pre-existing condition, according to the insurance company.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, well, I think that that's our right to make fun of him in any way we want. But I don't think we were making fun of him being paralyzed.
No,
I made
not
no
at
fun
all.
Of his paralysis.
You're
I
making
made fun
of
his
looks, which is, I think, a relation to
not at all.
I was making fun of his meanness and his bad dye job.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling. All right. You were making fun of his bad eye job on his eyebrows in addition to
his real point was socialized medicine would have killed him.
Yes. Thank you. All right.
Whereas the insurance companies would have called that a pre-existing condition, the diving accident, even if it happened after he had the insurance.
Yeah, exactly. I just said his face looks like it's melting. I did say that. But I said that about Harlan Specter, too.
Yeah, his face does look like it's melting.
Yes, and I think Jim said they could have both seen the arc together
Mitch
of the
McConnell's,
Lost Covenant.
Yeah. Mitch McConnell's face is melting? Joe Lieberman looks like Droopy Dog.
Jim, maybe that's what happened. Maybe his face melted over his upper lip. Maybe that's where it went.
There was a partial melting of my upper lip, but I turned away before it could melt my whole face.
It's like his face is like a polar ice cap.
Before the eyeballs could fall out and run down his cheeks.
His face is floating towards Australia.
42 minutes after the hour, we continue the healthcare debate. And what's next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show?
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
After the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check out the live blog.
Yes. Where Mark Drunken Biker wrote, Everything sucks. Well, except the sensational Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, and the bloggers here. Well, not everything. Dogs are cool, and motorcycles, and tall, drunken brunette girls who like sex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh,
you're not that tall.
I'm 5'7". All right. John Fugelsang is here. It has been a Friday with John Fugelsang, and what's not great about that? If you'd like to see John live, and I recommend it.
Oh, come see me live. Well, I'm going to be doing a really funky hipster gig this coming Monday in New York City on the Lower East Side. Ooh. It's a show called Tell Your Friends at Lolita Bar, which Janine does it and Mark Maron does it, and it's this snuff film, Slime on the Walls, underground room. And it's this Monday at 9 o'clock at Lolita Bar in Lower East Side. You can find out about it on my Facebook or something. And I've got a brand new reality show about the new lesbian bishop called Queer Leader for the Episcopal Breeder. So watch that.
Okay, thank you. I think that part's a joke, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't know. All right. And Mama, don't forget, we'll be on the Ed Show on MSNBC. Could I have some love music, please? Let me tell you a story. A story of how a love began between Ed Schultz and I.
Uh-oh.
No, this has nothing to do. Not like that. Wendy will kick my ass.
Yeah.
It's a professional love story. Julie in Seattle writes, I caught a smidgen of Ed Schultz yesterday. He said, I love Stephanie Miller. She's a great gal. Everybody loves her. That part's not really true, but okay. She told me a while back she wanted to do more TV. I told her I wasn't digging the satellite delay. I told her, hey, why don't you move out here? And you know what? She did it. Now she's going to be on the Ed Show all the time. She'll be all over TV. It's been revealed. I did it because Ed Schultz told me to. And there's worse reasons to do something.
This is more fun than reading Tiger's texts, I got to tell you. Beautiful.
So what? If more people did what Ed Schultz told them to do, we'd have a robust public option and health care reform by now.
You are correct, ma'am.
Thank you. All right. What Tiger Woods? Does it just get worser and worser?
It's not going to leave the news because the news, let's face it, is controlled by middle-aged men. And middle-aged men love two things, golf and adultery. So it's not going away. I want to defend it. We have no way of knowing how much adultery golf has prevented. But the latest thing now is to see, like, the Skank of the Week Club. And I love seeing these women who are saying, I was so upset and hurt to know that Tiger had another woman he was cheating on his wife with. I feel so violated.
Yeah, porn star was very... Yeah, we were shocked on the list. Porn stars, a lot of cocktail waitresses, not a Supreme Court justice among them.
Apparently, apparently a few of those escorts are on the list, too.
Oh.
That's the newest thing.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Yeah, you can have $1 billion and still need to pay for it.
Yeah, do you remember how we thought it was a little dumb in the first place, the whole, hi, it's Tiger?
Yeah.
Woods?
Yeah,
you know, the famous. Yeah, this isn't being recorded, is it? Well, now, did you hear the one message where he says, we'll be together always, but secretively and on the side. No one will know.
Boy.
Because it's not like I'm famous or this is being recorded.
Beautiful. And all the sponsors. What sponsors will he go to and who's going to drop him? I'm like, hey, sponsors, this man just butched up golf. You know, like he's a golfer who's getting laid a lot. Now I want to learn. I'll sign me up for it. And Tiger, if you do lose all your sponsors, if Nike drops you in Gatorade, I'm pretty sure Summer's Eve Disposables will be waiting just for you.
On the Joy Behar show tonight, this segment that's going to air tonight, they aired. Did you see this video clip of the topless girl? Wow, it's the three girls, Jim, and one of them is topless. It's marbled out.
On the Playboy show last spring. Yeah.
Wow.
What a think tank that was.
Oh, what a summit.
I totally did.
She said it on cable in May.
Oh, and she's not just a porn star, Chris. She's a racist porn star. He's like the lightest black boy ever.
Oh.
And I got to show her. Hang on, I got to tweeze a nipple hair. Anyway, you guys, I was like, I can't believe we're actually watching this on TV.
The bright side is thanks to adultery, we might not have to see Tiger's billboards in airports anymore. So, you know, there are positives.
Have you seen? I went to Chicago last weekend, and he's there among all the phallic-looking cactuses, and I'm like, oh.
Tiger's healing lepers for Deloitte and Touche and stuff.
You can't take that seriously.
I think the irony is that short-stay motels are the only product he's never done a commercial for.
Right.
So.
Well, didn't Accenture change its slogan to be a tiger because of his sponsorship?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, thank God the, as you know, the straight people are the sole arbiters of the family values. Like the tiger, John Fugelsang brought us the breaking news, Chris, that Reverend Rick Warren, he's finally said maybe it's not such a good thing to kill gay people. He's
in Africa, too. That's very progressive.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Don't kill the Ugandan gays. He caught up with us.
Wow, that's...
We're very proud of Rick.
Yeah, because he had previously, you know, that he's invited that pastor to his church that's behind the let's kill all these gays.
Yeah, well, you know, you can hate the sin and hang out with the sinner, so it's okay. I mean, Pastor Rick, you know, first off, the man's very lucky that gay people aren't opposed to obese, bigoted marriage, because then he'd be in a lot of trouble. And it's funny, because I was looking at Rick Warren's book this week, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the book jacket actually says, and this is a quote, folks, the book jacket says, The Purpose-Driven Life is the best-selling nonfiction book in history, which seems to be Pastor Rick's way of saying the Bible's fiction.
Yeah. although, you guys, we discussed this, didn't we, that the Ugandan law technically only calls for the killing of if you are practicing aggravated homosexuality.
Well,
and not if you're mildly miffed homosexual, that's okay.
Right. Over here, aggravated costs more.
Irritated.
Right.
Aggravated homosexuality. Then
smooth
you're,
twink
then you're
seeks aggravated daddy.
Oh. Yeah.
Then you're bye-bye.
Right. Take care now.
Ooh, that was a little low, Steph. Your box is a little low.
Pardon me. Yeah. Pardon me once again. Yikes. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Tighten all that stuff up.
Twink made her drop.
Okay. Wow, I love this. Caribou Barbie refuses to say if she would debate Al Gore on climate change. She said it depends on the venue. I would think it might need to be in a venue where she has had a brain transplant and perhaps had the abnormal brain that she presently has replaced with something that actually is able to retain, you know,
knowledge.
Some sort of... Yeah, exactly, Jim. Exactly.
Perhaps I could help you with that problem. What happened?
You caught me an abnormal brain? From Alaska?
Yes, that's what some people on John McCain's staff said. What have you dropped of your breath?
Last year she said that we have to curb emissions because humans are responsible for it. And that then she said earlier this year that there is global warming, but that humans aren't responsible for it. And now she's saying there's no global warming. So she hates gay marriage but wants it both ways. And I respect that.
She was on the Laura Ingraham show, and Laura said, would you agree to a debate with Al Gore on this issue? And she said, oh, my goodness. You know, it depends on the venue, what would it be, what the forum, because, as you know, if it would be some kind of conventional, traditional debate with his friends setting it up or being the commentators, I'll get clobbered.
I would prefer
because,
a venue where he doesn't talk at all.
Because, you know, they don't want to listen to the facts. They don't want to listen to reasonable voices in this.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Speechless.
Yeah.
You know, and Barnes & Noble, I don't mean to, you know, challenge your advertising, but her book is way more than 40% off.
All right. Senator Bob Corker, by the way, a Republican from Tennessee on the health care compromise.
Friends on the other side of the aisle are trying to throw a whole new decade, a decade of seniors into the plan. What that means is less and less seniors are going to have access to care.
That's right. They're all going to die. Thanks to all the socialized medicine.
Jim,
I think
could
we
you explain
get rid
that
of
to me?
I wish you get rid of Medicare and everything will be fine.
I was putting more people in it going to give people less care.
He didn't think that through.
Okay, I don't think so. Senator Mitch McChinless, Republican of Kentucky, on the health care compromise as well.
I think I can speak for all 40 Republican senators. We're not interested in taking off this weekend. We're interested in staying here. Debating the measures that are before the Senate.
I'm interested in regrowing my upper lip so I can debate in a manner that will make me understood by people.
Sorry, what?
Sorry. Politics says, well, oh, boy. All right. Well, I hope we get us some health care for Christmas. John Fugelsang, beautiful here in New York for Christmas, isn't it?
It's wonderful here.
The Twee is up. I'm going to see the Twee at Rockefeller Center
and the
tonight.
The playing and
time of the
lovely
year.
Lovely Christmas in New York. You all owe yourselves to be in New York where it's so cold you can actually see the frozen urine on the sidewalk and not just smell it in the subway. It's a beautiful time. I love Christmas in New York. I love Christmas period. I love we get the Christmas songs now. I finally decided that it's the lyric "Say what's in this drink that makes baby it's cold outside," the ultimate date rape holiday song. That song is about a predator who gets a girl to come home with him, and she tries to leave. The answer is no. Okay,
but
she says
baby,
it. She
it's
says
cold
it.
Outside.
And Dino slips her a Mickey, and she doesn't make it home.
Yeah, it is cold. You know what? It's time for the. I have the whole I'm robbing a 7-Eleven face mask. Being from L.A., yeah, Chris, it has hit cold enough here. I'm wearing the whole the facial thing today.
It was in the 40s this morning.
In L.A.?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it was in the 30s yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. See, and that proves there's no global warming. All right, that's it for us. Woo! We got through another bi-coastal week. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Baker, and John Fugelsang. We'll see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.